I want you to open your Bibles, please, with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. We've been doing this study on the life of Christ for the last 175 years and on Wednesday nights. And there are just so many things that I wish I could go back and do and go back. I've written down several things. When I find something when I'm working on Wednesday night, I find something, I mark it, and then I go back to it, and sometimes and the Lord led me back to this passage of Scripture that I've preached from many, many times. You've heard it over and over and over from me. I just love this chapter. I think the whole chapter is wonderful, and thank the Lord for it. But I want to share something with you this morning that kind of stuck out in my mind. I want you to follow along, please, as I read verse 1. We'll just read down verse 1, 2, and 3, and you follow along in your Bible. Now, you know the story here. The Lord Jesus, in the 13th chapter, has just told the disciples that he's leaving, and that where he is going, they cannot come. And they were devastated by this news. They have spent the last 3.5 years with him, and they love him dearly. They believe in him. They believe his message. They do not want him to go. And so chapter 14, verse 1, after the Lord told them in the latter part of the 13th chapter that he's leaving, he notices their reaction to his statement. And so he sees that their hearts are broken. They're distraught. They do not know what to think. They don't know what's going on. And so in verse 1, he says to them, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now, folks, I want you to think about what you just read. This is the Lord Jesus Christ himself promising the disciples that he is coming back again. He left. He said, "If I go," and he did go. And then he said, "If I go, I am coming back again. And I'm going to receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there ye may be also." And so we have a promise here in the Scripture that the Lord Jesus is coming back. You'll remember that he went to the Mount of Olives with the disciples. And on the Mount of Olives, he ascended into heaven, just basically went right up. And the Bible says a cloud received him out of their sight. What you stood and you've watched a jet take off, and you've seen that jet, and then it goes right into the clouds, and then you can't see the jet anymore. Now, that doesn't mean the jet's not there. It just means you can't see it. The clouds are covering it over. And it's basically the same thing with the Lord. The Lord just ascended up out of sight, and he went into the clouds. And when he did, on his way to heaven, the clouds kept the disciples from seeing him anymore. And here were the disciples now. They're standing there. They're looking up. They're watching him go into the clouds and disappear. And suddenly these two angels came. One stood on one side, one stood on the other, and said, "Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come again in like manner as you have seen him go." And now, for nearly 2,000 years, we have been, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we have been looking for that coming of Christ again. He promised he would do it. The angels promised that he would do it. The Bible is filled with promise after promise that he's coming again. And now we're still waiting on it. Just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It just means it hasn't happened yet. It is going to happen. Jesus is coming again. Paul said to Titus that this coming was what we as the church look forward to as our blessed hope. It's the blessed hope that Jesus is coming again. Now, with that background, I want to speak to you this morning on the soon return of our Savior. Jesus is coming again. Could be today, could be tomorrow, could be next week, could be next month, could be next year. There's no way that anybody can tell you specifically a date or a time that Jesus is coming back. You remember back in 1988, there was this guy that wrote a book and said why Jesus is coming back, or 88 reasons why Jesus is coming back in 88. Well, he didn't come back in 88. And we all should have known better. I knew better. I hope you did too. But we should have known better than to swallow that deception and believe that that there was this man who had knowledge of when Christ was coming. No man knows the day nor the hour that the Son of Man comes. We know he's coming. We just do not know when he is coming. But he is coming. So let's pray, and we'll ask the Lord to bless us here. And then I want to speak to you this morning on, are you ready? Are you ready? Let's pray. Our Father, we just thank you for our time together this morning. And Lord, I pray that you will stir the hearts of your people this morning as we think about the fact that Jesus is coming again. Lord, I pray that every one of us who knows the Lord will get excited about that coming. That, Lord, we will not let the things of this world and the cares of this world keep us from looking forward and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord. So, Father, give us, I pray, a good service this morning. And may the Spirit of God deal with our hearts and draw us close to you. And we'll pray and ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I heard about a preacher that got up one Sunday morning and preached why the Lord Jesus is coming back this year. It was a January, you know, New Year's Day sermon, and he got up and he preached a sermon that he entitled "Why Our Lord Is Coming Back This Year." And he waxed eloquently for 40 minutes, and then gave the invitation. And as soon as the invitation was over, he stood at the close of the service and announced to the church a 2-year preaching service or preaching tour that he was going to be taking in Europe. You know, we do some strange things, don't we? We do some strange things. We say that we believe that Jesus is coming again, but then we live like he's not coming back in our lifetime for sure. Well, folks, I want you to know the Bible teaches us Jesus is coming again. And it could be today. It could be tomorrow. If he does not come back today, we'll certainly look for him to come tomorrow. If he doesn't come tomorrow, then we'll just look for him to come the next day. But one thing we do know for sure, the Bible is very clear on this subject. Jesus is coming again. I've had some folks that through the years have come to me and they said, well, you know, Pastor, I really want Jesus to come again, but, and then, you know, they'll give me the thing that they don't want to miss in their lives. For example, I've had some young ladies come to me, and after I preached on the second coming and preached on the Lord coming back in the rapture of the church, and you know, you can't, I don't know about you, but every time I preach on it, I get excited about it. And so I preached on it one night here a couple of years ago, and one of our young ladies who was engaged and she was to be married about 4 or 5 months down the road, she came up to me after the service and she said, Pastor, I got a problem. And I said, what? She said, I was sitting there listening to the sermon tonight and I was thinking, boy, you know, I do hope Jesus comes back and hope he comes back soon, but I hope he waits until I get married first. And I said, I started laughing and she said, you know, Pastor, the date is set. We've got it all set. And I just looked at her and laughed and I said, listen, after you marry him, you're going to think he's the Antichrist anyway. So why are you even worried about this? And that's the truth of the matter, don't you think? I mean, think about it, folks. Let me ask you, are you ready for the Lord to come back? Are you ready for Jesus to come back? I mean, would you want him to come back today? I do. I would love to hear that trumpet sound, and I would love to be able to just be here in a moment and then in the twinkling of an eye be in heaven with him. Well, that's the promise that we have from the Bible. But you know, I'm afraid that there's an awful lot of Christian folks that just aren't ready for the Lord to come back. When they think about it, as we give thought to the matter, we really definitely should look at our own hearts. Are we ready for the Lord to come back? Are we ready for the Lord to come back with us in the spiritual condition that we're in? Are we ready for the Lord to come back with the amount of prayer that we give to the Christian life? Are we ready to come back with the with our church member status? You know, folks, listen, honestly, I love you. I'm not trying to hurt you here. I'm trying to help you. And I'm not just trying to pick on you because you say, well, you mention this every week. I do it every week for a reason. Folks, listen, Jesus died for the church. Jesus died for the church. You say, well, I'm a member of the big church. There is no such thing as the big church. Every time you see church mentioned in this Bible, it is a local church, a local called out assembly. You say, well, I'm a member of the universal church. Then call the universal church to do your funeral when you die. Amen. Call the universal church to come visit you in the hospital when you're sick. There is no such thing as a universal church. Where did we get that? I'll tell you where we got it. Mr. Schofield gave it to us. There's no such thing as the universal church. And folks, I had a missionary stop in and he said, this was just a couple years ago, and he sat down in my office. He said, I'd like to come and present our work to you, to your church. And I said, well, where do you live? He told me where he lived. I said, where do you go to church? And he said, well, sometimes I go here, and then sometimes I go over here, and then sometimes I go over here. I said, well, which one do you belong to? He said, oh, I don't belong to any of them. He said, I'm a member of the universal church. I said, well, then you go to the universal church and get your support. It's amazing. We want the local church when it comes to supporting us. But we don't want to be a part of the local church. And folks, listen, you read your Bible. To the church at Galatia, to the church at Philadelphia, to the church at Ephesus, to the church and on and on and on. And I think that a lot of folks are going to be, they're just going to be embarrassed. They're going to be, Lord, I'm sorry. I just should have known better. Lord, I apologize. Because when we stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, He's going to say, did you go to the church, the Open Door, on Sunday, July the 2nd, 2006? Well, yes, Lord, I was there. Did you not hear Pastor preach on the fact that I was coming back and that it was going to be soon? And did you not hear him say that you weren't going to be ready if you're not a member of a local church that is doing something for God and serving the Lord in that local church? Did you not hear that? Folks, I'm begging you now. I'm not trying to pick on anybody, and I certainly don't have anybody in mind. If I sat to think about it, I probably would, but I haven't thought that far ahead yet. But I want you to understand that the Lord's coming back. You need to be involved in a church. Would you want the Lord to come back with the way you tithe? Would you want the Lord to come back with the way you pray? Would you want the Lord to come back with the way you read your Bible? Folks, Jesus is coming again. Are you ready? And I'm just afraid there's a lot of folks that aren't ready. And the reason they aren't ready for the Lord to return is really quite simple. It's really quite simple. When you break it down, it's not as complicated as what folks would make it out to be. Let me just give you two very, very quick reasons as to why most Christians aren't ready for the Lord to return. First of all, we are just too attached to the things of this world. And it's amazing how the world has got a hold of our hearts. It's just absolutely amazing. It's amazing the number of things that people devote their lives to. There are literally dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of saved people who come to this church. I mean, if you ask them where they go to church, they would say, oh, I go to the Church of the Open Door. But they're not faithful to three services a week. They're not ready for the Lord to come back. You say, well, are you saying I'm not saved? No, I'm saying you're not ready for the Lord to come back. You're just not ready. I mean, I believe that we have three services, I just believe in three to thrive. I've always believed that. I remember years ago, first time I ever heard Dr. Lee Robertson preach, and he preached a whole point on three to thrive, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And I thought, amen, I see that. That works. That's good preaching. I mean, I just think that we ought to be in God's house. Why aren't we? I'll tell you why. Because we're too attached to the world. Now, I don't know how else to say it so as not to be offensive, but folks, we are so concerned with buying and selling and playing and getting and having and advancing, and we're so concerned with these things that we aren't concerned with God and with our daily walk with Him. Now, folks, listen, you hear me, and you hear me well. Jesus is coming again. And what we better do is get our priorities lined up and realize that we're to put Jesus first and we're to put everything else second and third and fourth. We're to put Jesus number one in our lives. You may as well, can I tell you something just drives me crazy? You might as well say yes, because I'm going to tell you anyway. It just drives me crazy when Christians come up to me on Sunday morning and they say to me, "Pastor, I wish I could come to church tonight, but I have to." And then they tell me what they have to do. And you know, most of the time, it's not, "Pastor, I wish I could come tonight, but I have to go have open heart surgery this evening." That's usually not it. "Pastor, I wish that I could come to church this evening, but I'm going to have a liver transplant at 5:30 this evening." No, it's, "Pastor, I wish we could come to church this evening, but Pastor, it's like somebody got their arm, you know, up, pushing it up around their right ear. And they said, "Pastor, I would love to come to church tonight, but we have a Little League game this evening. Or we have to go to this event or to that event." Folks, let me tell you something. The only thing that you have to do is die and stand before God. That's what you have to do. Well, and pay taxes. If you live in Maryland and in Carroll County, you have to pay taxes. And Virginia, okay. If you live in America, you have to pay taxes. Believe me, Europe's just as bad. Where are we going? We're going to Outer Banks. We're going to the Outer Banks in a few weeks. And so we got the thing, you know, and we look at the, and it says we got to pay $600 in taxes. In taxes for 1 week. In taxes. Are you listening to me? In taxes. Oh, my soul. It ought to be just $600 for the whole state. You can own the whole state for $600 for a week. No, I got one little old space down there where I'm staying and paying $600 in taxes to stay there. Well, of course I'm going. It's only money. When that's all gone, we'll go borrow some more. Folks, the only thing you have to do is die and stand before God. And I tell you, when we stand before the Lord, we are going to wish that we had put the Lord first. We're going to wish that we had made our relationship and our walk with God the most important thing in our lives. Make your friends. Make your friends with those that are going to be raptured. Let me just give you a few suggestions. Make your friends with those that are going to be raptured. It won't be so hard to leave here if everybody else that you know is going with you. A saved young lady marries an unsaved man. You see, at the rapture, she goes, he stays here, and they will be eternally separated. Wouldn't she want the Lord to wait so her husband could get saved? She loves him. Of course he would. Of course she would. If the rapture took place tonight, I tell you, just about everybody I know that I'm good friends with would go with me. That's the way we ought to live. Not only make your friends with those that are going to be raptured, but entertain yourself with that which you could be entertained with after the rapture. You want to be careful about what you get all tied down to. If the rapture took place today, could you listen to the music tonight that you were listening to last night? Could you read the book tonight that you were reading yesterday? Folks, we just need to realize that we live for the Lord and He's coming to get us. Send your treasures to heaven before you're raptured. Remember what Jesus said in Mark chapter 6? He talked about laying up treasures for yourself in heaven where moth and rust does not corrupt. We see Christians who work like crazy to accumulate wealth. And I'm not against that. I'm not against you working and accumulating wealth. But my friend, listen, you need to be careful with where you lay up your treasures. You need to be careful with that. Send your treasure to heaven. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, you get it down here and you give it away. You give it away. That's how you can do it. And you'll find out the more you give, the more God gives you. That's what you'll find out. And if you want to send some treasure to heaven before the rapture, you come and see me. I'll give you a list a mile long of folks that could sure use some help. Thinking about old Brother Filbert down there in St. Lucia. He called me the other day, moaning and groaning and whining around, crying. I said, what do you want now? Well, all these preachers said they were going to help me and nobody's helped me. I said, brother, we'll help you. God will help you. God will take care of you all in due time. Folks, you guys got to realize that we've got a work down here to do. Got a lot of work down here to do. A couple of years ago, an elderly couple came to see me one day. They said, they came in and handed me a check for $6,800. $6,800. I said, what's this for? And it said, he said, I'm all squared up now. I said, what do you mean y'all squared up? He said, Pastor, I know what that tithe means. I said, well, what's it mean? He said, a tenth. I said, that's exactly right. A tithe means a tenth. He said, well, you know, he said, we kind of got in a little financial crunch here a while back, and I decided I wasn't going to give a tithe. I was going to give an eighth. I said, oh, really? He said, yeah. He said, we ran on that eighth for a while. I said, well, what happened? He said, well, I got to reading the Bible, and God got me under conviction. He said, so I had to sit down and calculate, and he said, now here's what I owed the Lord. Here it is. Here's the accumulated amount that now, he said, all squared up. And he gave me a check for $6,800 to put in the offering plate. Folks, let me tell you something. If the rapture happens today, if the rapture happens now, he's going to meet that $6,800 again. If he had not given it, he would have left it here. He would have left it here. One of the reasons that I think we ought to get excited about the rapture is because we live in such a way we don't leave a bunch of stuff behind. My friends are going to go with me. My family is going to go with me. The books that I read can go with me. The crowd that I run with can go with me. I mean, my investments will go with me. Thank God for the Christian life. Let's live it like Jesus could come back today. But then there's a second thing I want you to think about. Not only are we too attached to the things of the world, but there's a second thing I think we ought to consider. I think a lot of folks don't want the Lord to come back right away because we're afraid of what we might lose at the rapture. You see young unmarried folks and they want to get married. You see young couples that don't have children yet and they want to have children and they want to buy that house. They want to see their career take off. They want to see that success in their job. Folks, listen, I don't think things are going to be that much different than they are now once the Lord comes back. You say, well, what do you mean by that? I'm saying that I think that it's going to be different. Yes, it's going to be different because those of us that are saved are going to have a glorified body. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm really looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to that. I got an invitation to go play golf Friday, this last Friday, with a couple of businessmen here in the area, and so I've been so busy this summer. I haven't got to play golf. I played in a tournament back in April, and I played in our church tournament on Saturday, and that's it. I have not got to play golf at all, and so I was all excited, looking forward to it. and we were going to go over here to Piney Branch and play golf. So last Friday. So I got up and I sat on the edge of the bed, and I went to get up out of the bed, and I felt something back here in my shoulder blade that just grabbed a hold of me like someone had taken a dart and just, you know, from a blowgun and across the room and hit me in the shoulder blade. And I went in the shower and I turned the shower on and just as hot as I could stand it and just stood there and let it beat on that part of my shoulder. And then I started trying to raise my arm and I could get it to about right there. And so I thought, well, how in the world am I going to swing a golf club? Isn't it going to be great when you don't have any more aches and pains? Isn't it going to be great when you ever do this? I know you've never done this. You know, it's right on the tip of my tongue. Don't you hate that? It's not on the tip of your tongue. You can search for hours and not find that. And in the middle of the night, just lo and behold, there it'll come to you. And everybody else is asleep or gone and you can't tell them. You know what it was you were trying to think. Oh, it's terrible. But my friend, let me tell you, one of these days you're going to get a new body. You're going to get a new mind. You're going to get a new heart. You're going to get a new body. And I wish that I could just reach out and grab a hold of all of you and just get it through to you that when the Lord comes back and when we're raptured and when we're taken to heaven, you are not going to some spooky, unknown, mysterious place. You're not going to be just like a bunch of blind spirits in a vacuum. I mean, listen, we're going to heaven and we're going to have real bodies, and the Lord is going to have a table ready for us. We're going to eat when we get there. We're going to celebrate when we get there. We're going to love when we get there. We're going to feel excitement when we get there. And then at the end of that 7 years, we're coming back here to this earth to rule and reign with Jesus for 1,000 years. It's going to be quite a show, folks. And I think we will work and serve, and I think life is just going to go on. Only for us who are saved, it will be with a glorified body, with no sin, no flesh, no evil thoughts, no pride, no cancer, no diabetes, no arthritis, no sinus problem, no headache, no sciatic nerve problems, no cancer. I mean, we're going to eat, we're going to visit, we're going to fellowship, we're going to think, we're going to live. We're not just going to float around wearing white robes and waving magic wands with a dumb smile on our face, crying holy, 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 and sprinkling spoofle dust everywhere. That's not what it's all about. It's not what it's all about. I'm saying Jesus is coming to take us to a wonderful place, and folks, it could be today. Are you ready? Are you ready? Number three, we do not know exactly what is going to happen at the rapture. Don't know exactly. Paul gave us a little bit, but we know the rapture is coming. Why aren't we ready? Lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. We just, it's beyond our experience. We do know some things. For instance, we know that we're being raptured so that we don't have to go through the tribulation period. Man, I'm excited about that. Have you read Revelation about that tribulation period? You do not want to be here for that. I mean, that's going to be bad news. We'll be in heaven. We will receive our glorified body. We will receive our crowns as rewards. We will enjoy a great feast, like a wedding reception. And you can eat all you want. And you can not worry about what you eat clogging up your veins. I went to the doctor Tuesday, and he said, he said, your blood pressure is good. I said, good. He said, a lot better than it was last time you were in here. And I said, good. He said, your weight's down a little bit. I said, good, good. He said, well, your heartbeat seems strong. I said, good. Amen, good. He said, how you been feeling? I said, tired. And he said, that's understandable. You are getting old. And, but he smiled when he said it. And he said, now, here's what we got to do. He said, we got to send you over to the lab and get your cholesterol checked. But, oh boy. And I just haven't done that yet. I probably will do it this week because I know I should. But I just don't want to do that. You know, I know everything is good. That cholesterol is going to be 9,000. I know it is. But can you imagine, folks, can you just imagine going to heaven and getting a new body? Getting a new body. No sin, no flesh, no evil thoughts, no disease, no death. It's going to be a wonderful thing. I'm saying that Jesus is coming to take us to a wonderful place, and it could be today. We ought to get excited about that. You can eat all you want. You don't have to worry about it clogging up your veins. You don't have to worry about getting fat. It's going to be real. And you won't have to worry about it being spooky or mystical. Folks, it's just going to be a great day. I can't wait till Jesus comes. Many a time when I'm traveling, I'll be going out the road and I'll see a cloud formation and I'll think, ooh, that'd be a good spot for him to put his foot down. I think that often. The other day, a couple weeks ago, when I was on an airplane, and I was when I was out in Indiana, and I was flying back, and as we were coming into Philadelphia, we came down out of the clouds, and when we came down out of the clouds, he went and he banked a little bit towards the airport, and when he leveled the thing back up again, I could look off out the window, way out in the distance, and there was a great big, looked like a big U in the cloud, and I thought, oh, that would be a great spot for the Lord to return. Folks, He's coming back. He's coming back. And there's one more thing. When He comes back, it's going to be a great reunion day. You ever been down to the airport when the soldiers are coming back? Any of you ever been down there to see that? That's an amazing thing. Nowadays, the soldiers get off the plane and they start down the tarmac. They come into the terminal. And everybody stands and applauds as they come through. Amen. That's the way it ought to be, don't you think? They stand and applaud when the men come through the doors. And not long ago, I was down there and I saw a bunch of them get off the plane. And when they got off the plane, here come their families. And you had those young wives and you had those babies and those little kids. And they're screaming, Daddy. Daddy, running full speed. And boy, Dad gets on his knees and the big hugs and kisses begin. And I just stand there and rejoice. Thank God for it. I know how happy they must feel. Well, folks, listen. There's not a one of us in this room that doesn't have a mom, a dad, a brother, a sister, a best friend, cousin, aunt, uncle. Somebody who has impacted our life more than we have words to express, who is up in heaven waiting on us right now. Can you imagine that trumpet sounds, and in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the first person we see is Jesus. And then we look beyond His shoulder, and there's our loved ones waiting for us to come home. You know, I find it interesting that every time Paul mentions, or John, or Peter, every time they mention the second coming of Christ and the rapture, it has one goal and one purpose, and that's to comfort our hearts. Paul talked about the rapture in 1 Thessalonians 4, and the last thing he says is, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You're not supposed to use the rapture as a means to try to get people saved. The rapture, the doctrine of the rapture is for saved people. It's to give comfort to saved people. You say, well, how does it give comfort? Because it's mentioned some 230 times in the New Testament. Jesus is coming again. He's coming again. He's coming again. He's coming again. The Lord is coming back. He's coming in the clouds. Trumpet's going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise. Then we which are alive and remain are going to see Him face to face. Jesus is coming again. And folks, it could be today. It could be today. Are you ready for Him to come? If you hadn't been reading your Bible, you're not ready. If you haven't been faithful to church, you're not ready. You say, you mean I'm not going? No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I said, you're not ready. You're not ready. You're going to hang your head when He comes. Like a little kid got caught with his hand in the cookie jar. Are you ready for the Lord to return? Bow your heads with me, please. Our Father, we thank You for the Bible, and I pray that You will bless it to our hearts. And Lord Jesus, I pray that every one of us will be receptive and responsive to the great promise that Jesus is coming again. And Lord, if there's somebody here today that is saved, and Lord, they know You, they know You in the pardon and forgiveness of sin, but yet, Lord, they will honestly admit they're not ready. Lord, would You speak to their heart and help them to realize, Lord, all You want them to do is just love You and serve You with a glad heart. And Lord, I pray that You'll help folks to do what they know they ought to do. There's folks here that ought to join the church. There's folks here that need to start tithing. There's folks here that need to come back on Sunday night and be here on Wednesday night. Lord, there's folks that need to get in the choir and start singing and serving in the choir. Lord, there's folks that need to start reading their Bible on a daily basis. Oh, dear Lord, I pray that You will just help us to get ready and to realize that You're coming again. Lord, it could be today. And I pray that You'll now speak to every heart. May we be encouraged. May we be strengthened. And may Lord, we do what You ask us, what You want us to do here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.